world's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning out there. It's the, 20th day of February. Wow, is that right? February 20th. My mom and dad's anniversary, wedding anniversary. God rest their soul. Wow, mama, gee, just hit me. God bless. Hey, man, a lot going on. We're going to take communion, so get yourself some communion. Joe got up real nice and early for us out there on the West Coast. Crazy stuff going on. Something's happening here. Remember that song? I sing that a lot. Something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. It's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. Hey, hey, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. The first big arrest is a prince. What? The first big arrest was a prince. Oh, whoa. Former prince. I don't know how you become a former prince, but he got deprinced. I don't know if you know that. And did they deprince him to throw him to the wolves? Or is there really something to the idea that the British crown still controls America? Is there something really to that? Really? And that the first arrest they would make would be a defrocked prince. I don't even know how you get defrocked as a prince, but he did. And then the question begins to arise, and we'll jump into all this stuff. Where's our arrests? No arrests here. Oh, man, a lot going on, huh? Folks, it's spiritual. Please understand that. Now, I want you to know this. That the average person that you come in contact with will not understand that. They won't understand it. They'll think it's political. They'll think whatever it is. No, no. Something deeply, deeply dark and good going on at the same time. Question we have to try to ponder and try to figure out ourselves. Are we moving from light to darkness, or are we moving from darkness to light? Because there's something seriously going on. We're going to talk about that. We'll have Norm come in here in a second, talk about what we're trying to do to help with. Oh my goodness, just so much stuff going on. Hang on there with me before we get going with it, okay? Bear with me a second. We're going to take communion. Appreciate Joe getting up early morning. Let's never ever take that lightly. Before we do that, Glenn, what's going on? Hey, Glenn, tomorrow, Saturday. 1 o'clock, Glenn. 1:30. What is it, Glenn?
Yeah, 1:30 to 5. House to house gathering at my house, at our clubhouse. Mm-hmm. And emails went out to those people who we have emails for. But if you are interested in attending, just look in the chat. My contact information is there. Phone number and email. Just send me an email or a text, and I'll forward you the details.
Hey, Glenn, they don't have to come stay 3 hours. They don't have to. They can come and go, right? Come and go.
Yeah, absolutely. If you can only stay for an hour or two, that's fine.
It's a chance to us to see eyeball to eyeball, assembling ourselves together. It's important. So those of you who can make it, we'd love to have you.
And yeah, Glenn, it's a time of fellowship.
Time of fellowship. So Glenn's phone number is there, his email. Glenn, do you want them to call you if they're coming? How do you want to handle that, buddy?
It would be good to know, so we can just, you know, have a better idea and plan accordingly. But you know, come.
I'm bringing my girlfriend with me. Is that okay?
That's fine.
She happens to be my wife, but she's still my girlfriend. I love her like a girlfriend. So we're going to be there, Glenn. So if just me and you and you and your wife will have a good time. Anyway, let Glenn know. Hey, Glenn, should we bring anything?
If you could bring a snack to share, or something to share, that would be good. But you know, if you can't, don't worry about it. Just come. There'll be other snacks there.
Good man, Glenn. Appreciate it. By the way, I'm not going to get time to talk about it because it just got a lot going on here. Did I knock it out of the park at Thomas Worthington High School yesterday? I'm telling you. Maybe at the end of the show I'll get a chance. I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. Wow, was it awesome. It was awesome. So Joe got up real early. Hang on there, Norm. We'll get to you. Joe got up real early this morning to lead us in communion. Joe, we appreciate you doing that. I know you're sleepy, but go ahead, brother.
Thank you, Coach. Producer.
By the way, let me say, we had the most unbelievable rainstorm last night. Did you guys, anybody else out there? I don't know when I've heard it rain as hard and as long as it did last night. And I'm afraid to go outside and look because the ponds are frozen. Everything's frozen. Where'd all that water go? That's what I want to say. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Joe.
Okay. The reading this morning is 2 Corinthians 4:11-18. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake.
Dying to ourselves. Yes, sir.
That the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh.
I talked about that yesterday. I really did. Go ahead.
So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore I have spoken.
Have you done that, folks? You believed, have you spoken? Have you just talked to anybody about it? Go ahead.
We also believe, and therefore speak.
I sure do, man. Makes me a lot of enemies.
Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God.
Lord Jesus, be glorified in this mortal body, Lord. Yes.
For which cause we faint not.
What cause? That we present our body a living sacrifice. That's what we're supposed to be doing. It's going to redound glory to God. That's why we faint not. Go ahead, Joe. Sorry. No, I'm not.
But through our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day.
Boy, is that happening to anybody out there? As I get 73 years old, my outward man begins to perish. I'm telling you, I'm stronger spiritually than I've ever been. That's that scripture right there. Our outward man perishes, yet the inward man gets stronger every day. Somebody give me a thumbs up. Say, yep, that's me. That's happening to me. And if it isn't happening to you, why ain't it? Go ahead.
For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory.
We don't have any idea what's waiting for. Golly.
While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen.
Amen.
For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
Seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, with Jesus as the author and the finisher of our faith. We are in a tank, and the world, the demonic world, the blessing world, the kingdom of God is all around us, and we just can't see it.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you again from this unconventional fellowship across this great nation and in a few other lands. We come to you with gratitude in our hearts We come to you with thanksgiving. We come to you with awe and wonder for what you have done and for what you're doing. We come to you to guide us. We come to you because we are your ambassadors. Please continue in living in us. Let us surrender every day a little more to you, Lord. And we come to you in communion. And Lord, we know that this is a holy moment, a holy act. So we ask you to forgive our sins and our transgressions and bring us cleansed into your sight. We ask that you be with us and our friends and our family. Will you be with all of any of us, our friends or family who are unwell? Be with Tina Peters in that cold, dark, lonely place she is. But she's not alone, Lord. She has you. And I ask you that you deal with the hearts of her afflictors. My heart says, soften their hearts, but perhaps you're hardening their hearts for some purpose of your own, Lord. Perhaps you're bringing down these pharaohs in another manner. So we put it in your hands. But soothe her and comfort her and be with her and heal her as this is, process is happening. And I ask that we remember that, and you help us remember, Lord, that this is the meal that can heal. And so let that be for anybody who has a need in their heart, in their soul, in their body, to receive healing with this communion. And we've asked you to bless this bread and drink representing the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that was shed for us so many years ago, that we who believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And we can say those words, Lord. We can academically write a treatise what that means, but I don't think we really understand it. And so, Lord, with gratitude, we now come to your communion. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And, by the way, just under the unctioning of the Lord there real quickly, folks. I'm fasting a meal for Tina Peters today. Would anybody out there agree to do that? Fast a meal for her. Say, who's Tina Peters? She's the lady who's locked up in Denver, Colorado. I think it's Denver. Over election fraud. She exposed election fraud, which now we find out she was right, and she's been in prison. She's a Gold Star mother in prison. So I just want some of you out there commit right now to fasting a meal on behalf of Tina. Go ahead, Joe.
I've got a bit of warfare here on my computer, Coach. There. Pop up on my computer. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you, Coach.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks for giving up. I'm fasting a meal today. Somebody join us in this. Man, I got a lot going on here today. Most of you know about what Norm Davis has been trying to do down in North Carolina, and it took us a while behind the scenes to get this in an organized form so we can, in fact, make a difference. And thanks to Mel, Liberty Mel, up on the Liberty Action Network, we now have an action we're going to ask all of you to try to get involved with, and it's called Operation Squeaky Wheel. And it has to do with the squeaky wheel gets the grease, that they're still not getting the relief they need down there in North Carolina. And so it's up on the screen right now. But Norm, if you would, just take a few minutes, give us an overview of what it is you're trying to accomplish down there, Norm.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Dave, for bringing this, you know, to the people. Of course, as we know, we've still got thousands of families living in tents, sheds, campers, barns, any place they can get. We've still got over 5,000 private bridges and roads that are out. Only a little over 500 has been repaired. They're just massive, massive problems in North Carolina.
Maybe we could get some of that money from Minnesota and send it down there. You think we could? Some of that money that's going to the Haitians, maybe we could get some of that.
I'm sure that some of those Somalis would send millions if they just knew about it. So maybe they'll get the word here, Coach.
Amen. Yeah, amen. Amen.
Yeah. There's still massive issues over there. Now, my question on things like this is why? When I looked at past hurricanes in 2005, Katrina did $125 billion in damage. The government paid $62 billion, about 50%. In 2012, Hurricane Sandy was a $70 billion. The government paid $50 billion, which was about 70 to 80%. In 2017, under President Trump's watch, we had three hurricanes, Harvey, Irma, and Maria. There was about $81 billion paid, and that was about 65 to 70% of the damage the government reimbursed. Here we come to Helene. The updated estimate on damage was $79 billion. The government has paid $11 billion, or about 12 to 13%. And so my question again is why? You know, why Helene? And so for me, it's always good. I want to try to understand the agenda. What's behind all this? What's the reasoning why that we're only doing that? And, you know, there's a lot of people that believe there was some weather manipulation there. I have no idea about that. It looks like a possibility. We can manipulate the weather now, or it's either that, or, you know, the old saying, don't let a disaster go to waste.
Right.
And so again, I'm asking why. And I think the why is the minerals that's there. North Carolina has the best quality quartz in the world. There's also lithium in those mountains. And so If that's the agenda to take their land, and I'm going to go into some more facts here that's really alarming to me, and will be to you too. FEMA, of course, the water level got 37 feet higher than normal. FEMA came in and declared that plus 2 more feet, just in case. Now, they declared this a 1,000-year flood. In other words, this could happen once in 1,000 years.
Basketballs on top, basketball rims on top of each other.
Right.
Basketball rims, 40 feet.
So they declared the high water mark plus 2 feet, and people cannot get electricity in these areas. Okay. Now, when I researched past hurricanes, they haven't done this before. We've had many floods, and they didn't come in and declare those where people could not get electricity. Why were trained helicopter pilots that went into North Carolina to rescue people as soon as the wind calmed down enough they could, they were told to leave and not to rescue any more people. Okay? Now, this fellow is on tape showing that. And he was so afraid for his life that they distorted his voice and covered his face. There was James Stewart that was there doing a documentary 2 months after Helene, and he talked to this man. There were whistleblowers from FEMA, the National Guard, police, and firemen that were going to speak about what was going on. All of them backed out and said, I cannot go on camera. I fear for my life and for my family. Again, I'm asking why. There were many federal programs that's been in place for years that were not offered to the people. Now, we don't know if that was because of the state did not ask the government to do it or whether the government denied it. Don't know. But one interesting fact, just weeks after the hurricane, the state and the counties came in to begin to buy the property from these people. Okay? Now, what I found out is that where did they get the money to do that? Well, FEMA gives the state or the counties money to buy the property, but then the property does belong to the county. Now, why? You know, I mean, this is suspicious to me.
There's a devil loose, Norm. There's a devil loose. That's why.
Well, yeah. No, my wife reminded me yesterday, this is a major spiritual battle on this. Yep. And so, again, I think it has to do with the minerals. And if the state and the counties, if their interest was in helping these people, they would not be charging them $2,500 just to get a permit to build a bridge across a creek to get back to their own property. Okay. These are and they're slow walking everything. In other words, everything that's going on is trying to get those people out of those mountains. And again, maybe it has to do with tourism. Maybe it has to do with the minerals or both. I'm not sure. But I share that because I think it helps us in our strategy on how we're going to deal with things.
Okay. So what are we going to do, Norm?
Well, we're going to just have to keep bombarding the White House. And I'm sure they get bombarded over 100 issues every day. And I really think probably the media is maybe your best shot here. And of course, I'm always open to any thoughts and ideas and things. We do have some people, you know, that are writing letters. We have letters on our website already written for people that they don't have to write a letter. Just go in and download it and forward it on to the president or to Melania. And I've said from the beginning, I do not think that President Trump knows the truth about what's going on. I think he would be just as angry about it as we are. But see, the information that he's getting, and mainly from Michael Whatley, because he put Whatley in charge over there of letting him know, and they're covering their backside because of all their failures. So we're going to have to get to President Trump some other way other than going through the politics.
Okay, so what are we going to do here, Norm? What are we going to do?
Well, we're going to start sending letters. Again, on the website, we've got pre-written letters. We've got
Hang on a minute, Norm. What's the website, Norm?
It is, if they will email me at army4nc@gmail.com. If they'll send me an email to that, I will send them a link to our website to where they can see these letters. We have contact information like to Laura Trump. We have her email. We have Jesse Waters' phone number. You can call.
Hang on, Norm. Let's make this simple. Can they go to the Liberty Action Network and get access to this?
Yes, I think so. Yeah, they put all that up.
So let's go to Liberty Action Network. It's up on the screen, and then we'll be able to connect you then to Norm. And what do we want people to do? Let's be specific here. What do we want them to do?
We want them to ask the president to meet with folks like Nate and Kristen and Wayne Allred. We want them to meet with the boots on the ground, the pastors that have been there.
Okay.
And we want to talk to them. Of course, President Trump has been big on, he wants faith-based organizations to have access to, have equal access to funds. Okay, well, let's get them some money so they can do some.
Scroll to the top of this on the screen there, would you please? So here it is, Operation Squeaky Wheel.
Right.
And who it's all right here for them, Norm.
Yes.
Who are they going to contact? Put it in your file, whatever it is. Send it to your friends, and we want to bring pressure. Our goal is to get President Trump to meet with the boots on the ground who've been working with victims. So here's your action, okay?
Yep.
This is what you do. Letter. Mel, do we have a copy of a letter? Where's the information for what they would... go ahead, Norm.
Yeah, it's all...
People need to know what to say.
Yeah. And again, that's why we prepared letters that they can use. And what they can do when they download them, they can add their own comment, they can add their own story, or write their own letter. We've had some people that's emailed me back and sent me a copy of their letter, and people there on the ground, have heartwarming stories, that'll get your attention. So, and again, send them every week, send them every few days, start calling some of these media folks. And,
okay. So somebody help me out here. Where is the number to call? Where is an email to use?
Yeah, it's on the site there.
Click on the site then. So can we click on it?
Yes. Yeah. Like I said, send me that email, armyfornc@gmail.com. And again, I'll get you a link, and then we're going to be having updated information. You can see there the North Carolina relief. You click on that, and then you'll see access to the letters, how to send them, where to send them, and everything. There you go. And everything you need. And I think what we're also going to do, over the weekend is under this, and people will have to scroll. We're going to be putting additional information, and we're going to be putting some of the facts that I just went over about FEMA and the electricity and the whistleblowers and information that they can use, when they do call. And I'd really love for us to get an investigative reporter. I know Miss Eileen has got a connection, with the, lady that's a great reporter. I think we need some investigation.
Hey, Norm. Hey, yes, Norm. Sir. They know.
They know? Okay.
They know. Come on. They know.
So why?
Why is that? So here's what we want to do. We want to send emails and bring pressure, right?
Yes.
Norm, sure. On this page right here, what do they click? Where is the letter?
Okay.
Look, folks, I'm telling you this. Don't write them a 17-page letter. They ain't going to read it.
Right.
They're going to open it up. They're going to open up the email and say, okay, for this, against this. Number one, number two, for it, number three, for it. I'm telling you, they aren't even going to read it. But it's important for us to send them an email saying, this matters to me.
Get right.
That's as simple as it. I mean, right. If you want to send a nice long letter, God bless you. God bless you. Melania ain't going to read it. But she'll know that she got 2,000 emails. She'll know that. They'll tell her that.
Right. Yeah. Just click on North Carolina Relief there, and then that'll come up, and there's the letters. And like I said, we will be adding additional information.
Pretty simple to do.
Yeah. We've tried to make it as easy for people. I know they're busy and they have good intentions. But, and two, one thing that I do at night, and we've got some contacts there under that contact letter right at the bottom to Greg Kelly at Newsmax and Steve Gruber. I've emailed with him. In other words, you can sit and watch a ball game and send send an email to one of these network people. And I think if we can get some major attention on it, they'll have to
act. Squeaky wheel gets the grease, but there are clearly demonic forces at work there. I believe the storm was directed down there for a purpose, and the cleanup didn't happen for a purpose. Whatever it is, something's happening here, and what it is ain't exactly clear. And so what we have to do is we have to do what Gideon did, make noise and shine light. And that's what we're trying to do here.
Amen. Amen.
All right?
I appreciate it.
All right. So, folks, there it all is, okay? Huh? There it all is. So,
Hey, Coach.
Yes?
Did Norm you say that was Swampy Susie Wiles? You said Watley or someone like that at the White House was misadvising.
Yeah. Susie Wiles.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Watley was made the czar or whatever over there. And he's, the people that I've talked to in North Carolina, they don't have much good to say about Watley. He did an interview with Chris Starwell a week ago Sunday night, and Starwell was asking him about Helene, and he lied through his teeth. He said, 98% of this has been fixed, and 97% of this, and 99%. He's just lying about what's going on over there. And
all right, boy. Norm, any questions for Norm? Thanks, Norm. The website's there. The website's going to be, if you don't know where to go, go to the Liberty Action Network. Thank you, Mel, for doing all that work behind the scenes, and JR and Norm trying to make this happen.
Are there any North Carolina officials that are making waves about it? Any legislators or anyone standing up in the government?
Well, you know, one of the senators over there got $233 million, you know, for North Carolina. But what I learned was that the majority of it was just reimbursements to the states for what they had previously done. None of it got to the people that need it.
Yeah.
Look, it's been a while since this whole thing's happened. It's old news in the minds of most people, right?
Right. Yeah.
And if we would be honest, millions and millions of volunteer dollars have already gone down there. And in the eyes of most people, it's old news.
Correct.
Because when you do emergency relief, it's emergency relief until what? Till the government can get in there, but the government ain't never come in there.
Well, you remember what Ronald Reagan said, the scariest words you'll ever hear: I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
Yeah. That's right. Yep, they are. They're help who, though, right? All right. Hey, Norm, thanks, man.
Thank you. So, God bless.
Yeah, put that in the link. Appreciate all that you're doing out there. I'm going to try to shift gears here. Thanks, Norm. Again, thanks. Two things. Number one, I got three text messages already. So can you tell us more about being at the high school yesterday? You guys want to hear about it? You want me to do it? Okay, I'll take a couple minutes. Take a couple minutes. I had two classrooms, 50 minutes apiece, boys and girls together. Only two classes, probably 80 students would be my guess, seniors in high school. And I'm going to tell you this. They do not understand the gospel. Even the ones who go to church do not understand the gospel. So what I did yesterday, which is what I do, I'll take you through this really, really quickly. But it's important for you guys to know what it is we do. One of those kids said yesterday, says, "Who pays you to do this?" I mean, it's amazing the way of all the questions they would ask, right? Who pays you to do this? And I said, hundreds of people do. here's how I do it. Go in there, right? And I wrote up on the board, right, wrong. Do that. I wrote it on the board. Right, wrong. Can somebody tell me something that's right? Something that, an activity, something that's right. And somebody said, no, I got it backwards. I said, somebody tell me something that's wrong, something you shouldn't do. And so they started telling me, lie, okay, adultery, okay. And I got a list of about eight things. And then I said this, why? Why is that wrong? I got him to ponder on that a little bit. And I said, can somebody tell me something that would be good? Something would be good. And you know what they began to say, right? Love people, share, help, right? You know, I said, okay, let me ask you something. What makes this good and this bad? Says who? Well, they was flummoxed, of course. They didn't have any idea of the foundation of America. I took them back to the pilgrims. To the glory of God, amen. And America was founded as a Christian nation. And why is lying wrong? Why is it wrong? Says who? I led him to the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not bear false witness. I said, you're allowed to lie. You're allowed to lie because sometimes you have to lie to protect people. You're allowed to lie, but you're not allowed to bear false witness to harm people because the Ten Commandments are there to protect you. They're all protective. And don't do this. Don't do this. Don't. How many of you raise your hand in here? I said, if your life has been messed up because either your mom or your dad committed adultery. Woo! Something went across that room because I said, let me ask you this. Is your life better because your dad committed adultery? Well, they knew it wasn't, right? Now they're in a broken home. And if adultery is so bad, who says so and why? Well, because for better, for worse, for richer and poorer, in sicknesses and health, forsaking all others, give myself unto you as long as we both shall live. It's called a vow. It's a vow. And I made a vow to my wife, a vow, and I kept it. But the breaking of vows brings damage. Oh, it's powerful, man. It's powerful. They're not, because see, they don't. I don't know how many of them go to church. When I was in high school, I went to church. I couldn't answer any of that stuff. I couldn't answer. Then I write up on the board that with three parts, right? Three parts. Your spirit lives in a body. You possess a soul. Went down through that whole thing, what the soul is, your mind, your will, and your emotions, and how we're impacted by what's going on around us. And if there aren't any restraints, if you get to choose what you think is right, and he get to choose what you think is right, and everybody gets to choose when in their own mind what they think is right, we have chaos. And what we have in America today is chaos. So why do we have chaos in America today? Because back in 1980, the Supreme Court of the United States said we couldn't teach children the Ten Commandments anymore. On a nation founded on Christianity, Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of a religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And the courts came in and said you couldn't pray in schools. Now, where the hell do they get the ability to be able to do that? And because they did that, an attack from the enemy, oh yeah, I went through that, the devil and fallen angels and all that happened. Because they went through that, what was the plan of the devil? The plan of the devil was to get the law of God out of the mind of children. And has he been successful? Yes or no? Who in here wants to be lied to? Who in here wants to be stolen from? Who in here wants to be gossiped about? Huh? Who in here wants to, huh? And they all get it. They all get it. So why don't we teach it? Yeah, I yelled. Why don't we teach it anymore? How do we ever have a society if we can't agree on what's right and what's wrong? Oh, man, it was good. It was good. Yeah. You know, I really get. Oh, it's just it's unbelievable, unbelievable. The women, my body, my choice. My body, my choice. Boy, have they been brainwashed? And I said, let me ask you something. What is an abortion? What is an abortion? Of course, they don't know, although they think they know. And they say, well, it's, what's the word? It's almost like a parasite. It's you know what they're talking about, right? It's an embryo. It's a fetus, all that kind of stuff. I said, let me ask you something. Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of religion nor prohibiting free exercise. And the Constitution guarantees us the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Let me ask you one thing, just very, very simple. Is it alive? Well, yeah, it's alive, but it's not fully developed. Well, that wasn't what I asked you. Is it alive? Yeah. And what's it going to be when it grows up? When that whole thing finally develops, even though it's really, do we pick on little people here in America? Is that what we do now? If you're small, you don't matter. Is there anybody in here who didn't start out as one of those little things? Any of you? Any of you? Didn't start out as one of those little things. And here you are now, and you're a big grown person. And all those little ones in there are going to be grown people. But they want to kill them. And the government says it's okay to kill them. And why did the government want to say it's okay to kill them? Because we didn't tell them adultery was wrong. And so some 17-year-old girl gets in the backseat with her boyfriend, and she gets pregnant, and then she wants to commit murder. Oh, man, it's... They never heard anything like that. They never heard anything like that. And I said, do you know what's really, really bad? There's a handsome, a big, nice-looking black guy sitting back there. And I said, do you know something, dude? They did this to blacks. They said blacks weren't people. And now here you are saying unborn children aren't people. Can't you see the lie that they're telling you? Anybody Amen. In here who didn't start out as a fetus? Anybody? Oh, my goodness. My goodness. And said, see, what's happened is here's we are. I'm about done. Hang on. Here's what happens. We have law without foundation. Because we no longer attach the law to the lawgiver, then we can vote whatever we want to be right and wrong. And there is no such thing as saying what may be right for you may not be right for me. That is BS. It's either right or it's wrong. And what you have been taught from the time you walked in school is situational ethics, meaning it's okay to kill this person here, but I can't kill this person there. If it's okay to kill this person, then why is it wrong to kill this person? And it says who? And can we all walk together successfully in this culture, the big lie of multiculturalism? How do we ever get along in this country if we can't agree on what's right and what's wrong? And what's the standard? It's always been the same. Those things they took off the wall, those Ten Commandments they took off the wall. The first four have to do with your relationship with the Lord, and the last six have to do with your relationship with one another. And the reason murder is wrong is because the Ten Commandments said they were. And the reason lying is wrong is because the Ten Commandments say it is. And the reason sleeping around outside of marriage is wrong is because the Ten Commandments says it is. And if they take down the Ten Commandments, then there ain't no law. Boom! Then I explained to him salvation. It's your spirit. You live in a body. You possess a soul. But you're going to die. How many of you have gone to your grandpa's funeral and looked in and your grandpa's laying in the casket and you see his body and everybody says he's not there. He's in a better place. Well, where is he? He's laying right there. He's laying right there. What do you mean he's in a... He's laying right there. I said, no, he's not laying right there anymore, because even in your intuition tells you he ain't there. But he's somewhere. Because people will come to the casket and say, oh, he's in a better place. Well, what do you mean he's in a better place? Where would he be? But see, if you don't understand that you're a spirit living in a body, just like you start a car, the car's dead, and you get in and you put a key in it and turn it and the battery, boom, the car's alive. When the power leaves, the car's dead. Dead batteries. Your dad, your grandpa, laying in that casket, he's a dead battery. But that power left. And where did it go? We call it life. Where did it go? Did it just cease? Where did it come from? It came from nowhere, and it just goes nowhere. Oh, but it has a soul, doesn't it? What is your soul? Well, that's your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's what makes you who you are. And when you die, your soul doesn't die. Your soul goes to the judgment seat of God. And whether you want to hear it or not, you're going to try to justify to God why you got away with all those sins. And the truth is, when you go stand before the God, you ain't going to have nothing to say, because you'll know everything you did was wicked, selfish, flat, every bit of it. But you know what the good news is? Jesus, Son of God, was birthed into a woman, lived a life of about 33 years, and never committed sin, because the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, meaning this. You guys know what wages are? Anybody out there know what wages is? Yeah, it's what you get paid. Yeah, that's right. It's what you get paid. So the wages of sin is death. Hey, if you sinned, somebody's got to die, because that's the wage. It's like going on the Ferris wheel. Somebody has to pay for you to get on the Ferris wheel. And Jesus died on that cross for what? He didn't commit any sins, and he died on that cross to get you on the reservation list. He says, I paid the bill. I paid the bill. But you're going to have to accept the fact that I paid the bill. And you're going to have to come to me, and you're going to have to say, I'm sorry, could you put me on the reservation list? I would love to take your sacrifice and be included on the reservation list. And the Bible says whoever does that is on the reservation list. Why? Because your sins are forgiven? No. Your sins are paid for. The wages of sin is death. You sinned, somebody's got to die. You did, in your place. And you may only be 17 years old now, but you're going to die at some place, at some point, and you are going to go to the judgment seat of God. You ever been in a courtroom? Huh? You ever been in a courtroom from a speeding ticket? Or you ever been in a courtroom and that judge ups up, brings down the gavel? You're going to be in a courtroom, and everything that you ever did is going to be laid out before everybody in that courtroom. And there it's going to be up on the screen. You did this and this and this and this. And the judge is going to say to you, what do you have to say for yourself? And you ain't going to be able to say nothing because you'll know you're guilty. And the judge is going to bring down that gavel. Boom! Guilty! When that happens, some guy's going to stand up. He's going to say, Your Honor, I paid that bill. That girl is guilty, but forgiven. I paid for it. So that's Christianity. All this other stuff, all this other religion, all this rigmarole, all the 42,000 denominations, it ain't anything about that. It's about a personal relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it's available to all of you. And I'm sorry, but your school won't tell you that. Pretty good, huh? They were spellbound. If I'd have had enough hats, they'd all left wearing one. Powerful man. I'm just telling you. Just telling you. Lives will be changed. Lives will be changed. I didn't have time because you can imagine like I just did. I should have let him in the sinner's prayer right there. I didn't have time. Bell rang. I couldn't believe they're out of here already. But I know this. They know now. You know what's really sad? The ones that go to church, they couldn't explain it to anybody else. They may be in their youth group. They may be doing all that stuff. But there's no way that they could explain the gospel to anybody else. Come on in, Mary Beth. By the way, folks, I want you to know this. That's what you fund Pass the Salt to do. I ought to be in a school every day. And like I said, somebody said yesterday, who pays you? It's crazy the way they're minding things, right? Who pays you? Come on in, Mary Beth.
I just forgot half of what I was going to say, but right. I really think the Holy Spirit has gifted you. And that's not to make you, you know,
He's given you a gift.
He's given you a gift. And I wish I could get you to come to, I wish they would, I can tell you right now, there's a bunch of libs over at the high school across the street from me. And the Lord can move mountains. So, but I don't know. I don't know if they would even say yes to it, but there is going to be kids saved, Coach, because of that. Down the road might happen now, might happen down the road. But there's going to be, like you said, it affected
Mary Beth, there will be fruit. I told this to my wife when I came home. There will be fruit from that beyond what we will ever know.
And then, Coach, what do you call a sinner's prayer? Because I just heard recently, you know, you shouldn't say, accept Jesus into your heart. No, you need to tell them to believe and be saved. You know, like Romans 10:9 and
Not only that, I told him, hey, listen, you can't receive Christ and go keep living like you live. You got to change, man.
Right.
You got to change.
And the Holy Spirit does that work. It's going to happen for the kids that are willing to.
So, Mary Beth, let me ask you this. Why don't the churches demand their place at the table in the schools? They bring every deviant thing in. And the churches have youth groups.
I send it out to people, and you know they'll talk about certain things and certain things. I don't know.
Why don't American Christians see the public schools as a mission field?
Right.
And why aren't we training our children to be missionaries in that mission field? Well, they tell us it's illegal. You can go into school and you can learn about transgenderism and homosexuality and evolution and all the agendas of the devil, but you can't go in there and take Jesus in there. Oh, we're such fools. Johnny, come on in.
Oh, wow. What a great, great story.
Johnny, you had to be there. You had to be there to feel it.
Brother. Oh, my gosh. Johnny,
let me stop you a second. You know what else I felt? I felt the Christians emboldened. When this always happens, when it was over and the bell rang, even though they had to get to the next class, they came around me. It's unbelievable.
They were drawn. That is just.
Go ahead, Johnny.
That is just wonderful, Coach. I mean, I can just imagine the look on some of their faces. How many lives did you change yesterday? Yeah.
At least we planted a seed, didn't we, Johnny? To think about Amen. Right and wrong again, huh?
I got goosebumps right now, Coach. That's awesome. Really,
Johnny, you know what really hit them? They knew when I got talking about adultery and broken families, you talk about a dart right to the heart, brother. What do you think the percentage of those kids sitting in that room were a product of divorce? 40%? 30%? If there's 100 kids in there, 30 of them lives messed up because of adultery, right? Man, oh man. Kimberly.
Good morning. We can all do these things. Okay. Maybe we don't have the skills that you do, but the Lord has blessed us from the time we started believing. One of the things I do, this is just a small example. When we go into a restaurant, we tell the waiter or waitress, we're going to pray over our food. What can we pray for you today?
Yes.
And almost always there's something we can pray for. And we do pray for it. And then I have tools. I often witness to them and leave them with a scripture or something. And sometimes they say, thank you so much. I didn't know about this. And we can all do something. Plant and we seeds. Need to be busy about our Lord's business.
Plant seeds. Plant seeds. I told you this. Betty will attest to this. When we go out to eat, I wear my hat a lot of places. Some places I don't, but a lot of times I wear my hat. And somebody told me that the worst thing on Sunday mornings for waitresses is when the Christians come in because they don't tip. Did you know that? They don't tip. They leave a track, but no tip. So when we go in and I sit down, and the waitress comes up. She's got a thing. What can I get you to drink? And she's writing it down. I say, hey, ma'am, can I stop you a second? I want you to know something. I'm a big tipper. She just looks at me. I said, you can relax. I'm a big tipper. What a way to show the glory of God, right? I appreciate what you're doing. I know you're working hard. You might have a child at home. You don't want to be here. I understand all that. And I want you to know that I appreciate what you're doing, and I'm a big tipper. You are most like Christ when you're generous. Oh, yeah. Most like Christ when you're generous. I got 7 minutes left here. What am I going? Oh, I got to do this. Golly. Can I change gears on you a minute real quickly? I want to change gears on you. Just so I want you to think about this. Hey, friends. They arrested Prince. Something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. I don't know what's going on, but they arrested him on purpose. Pull up number three. Is this it? Owen Schroyer. Yeah, that's what I wanted. All right. Play this. Hey. Justice. Mercy follows justice. No justice, no mercy. We got to stop forgiving people before justice is rendered. You can't say to somebody, well, I forgive you. Not if justice hasn't come. Mercy follows justice. Go ahead, play this.
Taylor Greene puts it out. Don't talk about it if you're not going to do it. Russian collusion hoax arrests, zero. January 6th stand down arrests, zero. January committee deleting evidence, January 6th committee deleting evidence arrests, zero. Mar-a-Lago raid arrests, zero. Biden auto pen arrests, zero. 2020 stolen election arrests, zero. Epstein pedophile arrests, zero. COVID scam and virus vaccine creation arrests, zero. Benghazi arrests, zero. Doge finding arrests, zero. Ukraine impeachment hoax, zero. We can go on. Afghanistan, Minnesota, open border zero. Arrests. This is the big elephant in the room right here. No arrests. Nothing else matters.
Why? Mercy follows justice. And friends, if we're not afraid of justice, man, oh man, we're in bad shape. Bad shape. Come on, somebody. They didn't have any trouble arresting those J6ers, did they? Well, they found them all across America, didn't they? They went into the highways and the byways to find those J6ers, didn't they? RJ, come on in.
Yeah, Coach. I think that they're letting the statute of limitations run as long as they can on as many as they can. Like they did with Comey. That's where he got beyond the beyond facing the guillotine.
Hey, how long's Epstein been doing what he's doing?
Gosh.
30 years? 30 years probably, right?
Since the '90s.
Everybody knows it, right? Everybody in Congress knows what he was doing. Where's justice, right? What? Mercy follows justice. Now hang on. Do you think God's going to bless America if we don't bring justice?
Man, no way.
Mercy follows justice. We pray that the Lord would bless America and forgive us America. And he's just sitting back there said, we need a little justice here. I died on that cross for truth, as Superman would say, justice in the American way. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So you better understand this. Jesus is very, very legalistic. Mm-hmm. Very legalistic.
That's an amen.
And we haven't figured it out yet. Why? So when Craig goes out and Randy goes out and they stake and all of a sudden something happens, it's because it's legalistic. The law. Enforcement of the law. Mercy follows the enforcement of the law. What's the message the church has given you? Grace, 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 forgiven, grace, 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 grace. Huh? Now, if you come and you drive your car and you hit me on the road and you damage my car, I'm going to forgive you, but you're going to pay for the damn car. Right? Yeah, you will pay for the car. I forgive you. But you owe me for the car. Oh, what a time to be alive. See you tomorrow. I'll see you Monday.